As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us for a special Monday appearance with the Eagles draft coming up on Thursday and the contract news about Cam Jurgens happening today as well is our very own Elliot Shore Parks of the Go Birds podcast. Hello, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing?
Oh, what up, E? Well, look, you can see Elliot. Did you see that? Put him back on, Justin, so we can look at him.
Is Justin the one who chose
Whoa, there he is. Oh, there he is. Look at Elliot. There he is.
I'm trying
this
to figure out.
This is making me realize that, no, go ahead, sorry. Yes.
Nah, what's up with all the fan mail in the back? What do you got, your packages back there? What's going on?
Say, when I shoot my videos for Instagram, you can't see the pile of junk in the right-hand corner. Apparently, this does a bit of a wider lens. So, yeah, you can see the tree, the packaging.
Like, what's going on back there,
man? Are you doing drop shipping in your spare time for Amazon? Yeah. The hell's going on?
I mean,
on
you know,
there?
All those suits have to come in something.
There you go.
That makes sense.
So, Elliot, big extension for Cam Jurgens. You had mentioned you thought this was coming the entire time. First of all, any reaction to the deal, or did it end up pretty much where you thought it would be?
Yeah, I mean, I think with his back injury, there was maybe some interest in how high of a contract he would get. But I do think that with this contract, they're signaling they feel very good about where his back is at. I mean, he still lands as a top two, arguably top one, because he is the most guaranteed money for active center. So, yeah, I mean, the Eagles, when they sign guys to these deals, they very rarely, like, cheap out. So I do think he got paid a really good contract. I don't think it would have benefited him to wait a year. I don't think it'll have much impact on the salary cap space for this year. So, a good contract for sure for Cam, and the Eagles paid top dollar. Absolutely.
You mentioned the back. Did we ever find out exactly what was wrong with his back or no?
I don't believe so. No. We are going to talk to Cam, hopefully, I think, you know, some point today or tomorrow. So maybe we can get more information there. But I would say that all indications are that he's going to be okay.
And then the final question on the, at least on the cap thing, are those the numbers that you guys end up getting for how much he counts against the cap, the dead cap numbers? Does that all just come from overthecap.com, or is that public somewhere? Because I never see that released anywhere.
So it's not public, but some people have access to it where they can see the breakdown of the contract. Over the Cap does have access to it. So it's not public, but Over the Cap, I would say for those listening, is a really, really good place to check that out. They're always accurate there.
Yeah, is that where you get your cap numbers at?
I get them from somewhere. Don't worry about it. You know, sometimes over the cap, sometimes. Yeah. I get the numbers. So his cap hit's about 5'8 right now. I don't think it'll change much. It'll probably be a million or two in one of the, up or down, but not an impact on the cap.
For this year specifically.
So.
Yeah, yep.
The next thing for me, E, would be like, we kind of knew that the Eagles would have the ability to extend some of their younger players if they chose to. This offseason. At least that's how I kind of felt some of those moves earlier this year with the CJGJ. I could be wrong, but I thought some of this stuff was done possibly to get some of this stuff done. I say all this to say, do you feel like there's anyone else that could be in line for an extension? You got a couple guys like Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean. Who else am I forgetting? Am I forgetting anybody else? That would be a young player.
No, I mean, those would be the top two.
Yeah.
And, you know, two very different situations, because Nakobe does not have a fifth-year option as a, I think he was a third-round pick, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And Jordan Davis does as a first-round pick. Now, what's interesting about the Nakobe situation is obviously he suffered a serious injury at the end of the season. So had he played this out, I think you probably would have seen Nakobe sign a deal. I don't think he was going to get anywhere close to what Zach Bond got,
right,
but I think
right.
they would have had interest in extending him so that he wouldn't hit free agency next year. The Jordan Davis one is interesting. I would be shocked if they don't pick up the fifth year option. And if they don't, I would think it would only be because they're going to sign him to an extension. I don't anticipate Jordan Davis becoming a free agent after this year. I think they're very encouraged internally about the year he had. I know it didn't show up statistically, and we certainly debate a lot. Is he a bust? Is he not a bust? Is he worth it? I think in the building, they view him as a very high quality NFL player. It doesn't mean he's a great pass rusher, doesn't mean he's going to get a top 10 contract for defensive tackle, but for the player he is, that fifth year option's at like $10 million. I think that's actually a really good deal for someone like Jordan Davis.
Yeah.
So Elliot, draft coming up on Thursday, I know you did your Eagles related big board. You want to give us your top three? You want to give us your top three Eagles related players?
Okay.
Or players that the Eagles could get at 32.
Yeah, how many times is this going to change before we get to Thursday?
Well, it's now on Instagram, Blue Sky, and Thread, so it can't change now. It's out there officially,
okay.
So you can check it out on all those places. But no, so number one for me is still Walter Nolan. I just think he's somebody that checks every box. Like Jordan Davis, as good of a player as he is, I think he's ideally a third defensive tackle in a really good rotation. Walter Nolan has true upside as an elite pass-rushing defensive tackle. So they need to find somebody to pair with Jalen Carter. Maybe it ends up being Moro Ojomo, but Walter Nolan, coming out of high school, was the second best recruit in his class. He was a five-star recruit. Hasn't worked out for him in college. He had to transfer from Texas A&M to Ole Miss. Not exactly two powerhouse programs. So I do think coming to Philadelphia, you could get the best of his potential. And so for me, if you could say there's one player the Eagles could end Thursday night with, I think the best outcome is Walter Nolan.
Mm, I like it.
And who do you have? I asked for top three. So who do you have at two? Who do you have three?
Two, I do have Malachi Starks. So he's a bit of a different prospect for me. I don't think he has the athletic, like raw upside where you look at him and go, you draft him at a young age, he's super athletic and you develop him. I think Malachi Starks could come in next year and be an extremely high floor player where you're going to get really quality snaps from him. You could argue someone like Nick Eamonwerry out of South Carolina has a higher upside just because he's such a better athlete. But I think Malachi Starks would be able to play like week one, snap one, at a really high level. So he would be number two for me. And then number three, I still really like James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee. I know that he is slipping down some boards. There's, you know, some loose reporting on potentially like some maturity issues with him. But we saw with Jalen Carter, you put somebody in that building and they're able to get the best out of players. So James Pierce, and like the ideal body for an edge rusher, long, tall, very fast off the line of scrimmage, really good pass rush numbers. I'm not someone that looks and goes, oh, they only had four sacks in college, but whatever. I do think if I'm drafting an edge, I want to see that he had good production in college, and James Pierce Jr. has that. So he would be my number three.
So Elliot, you know I'm a Go Birds Daily listener, right? And I think you've remarked a couple of times you like the fact that I'm a Go Birds Daily listener, correct?
That was a mistake.
Yeah, I have a feeling I'm not going to like it after this.
I got so mad listening to this. So you broke down your quarterbacks in the draft and you said something that is so specifically wrong. Like it is, I don't even know that it is debatable. And I think you have like Jalen brain or something. I think being that you've watched so much Jalen Hurts, it has skewed how you feel about the quarterback position in general. You said you would rather have a quarterback who is a great runner and an average thrower than you would rather have a quarterback that is a great thrower and an average runner.
Correct, yes.
That is insane. And there is just example after example after example after example of quarterbacks who can run and can't throw the ball well who fail, as opposed to quarterbacks who can throw the ball well and don't run as well who succeed. I mean, it is a failure to understand how the quarterback position is played. Could you explain that and just give me more examples than Jalen Hurts?
Yeah. So first, you said quarterbacks have to be able to throw the ball. I agree. I didn't say I wanted a bad throwing quarterback.
You said average. You would rather have
average.
A great runner and an average thrower, yes, than a great thrower and an average runner.
Correct. And I honestly don't know how you could disagree with that.
So give me an example outside of Jalen Hurts.
Well, okay. I think Lamar Jackson is probably an average thrower. He is a special arm, but I wouldn't say he's like a top five thrower of the football. He's obviously an electric runner. And you can say besides Jalen Hurts, but I don't know why I have to give you an example besides Jalen Hurts.
Because you're drafting a quarterback who's not Jalen Hurts.
Correct. But what I am drafting is a quarterback that I know I want specific characteristics out of. And after watching Jalen, not just this year, but since he's been here, I have learned the pressure he puts on the defense with his legs really, really matters. Yes, if you have an elite, elite thrower of the football, then it doesn't matter if you're not a great runner because you're getting rid of the ball quickly. Now, you do need a great offensive line. And I would argue for someone like a Joe Burrow, you probably need better skill players around him than you do with Jalen Hurts because Jalen can create more on his own.
Well, that's not true at all. How do they play without AJ Brown?
So how many games have they played without AJ Brown since 2021? What is it, four? Is that really the sample size you're going to use?
Four.
So it's four games over 3 years has you so convinced he couldn't do it.
I'm just saying, Elliot, like you're again, I asked for,
you're thinking about the entire quarterback position
and you named me Lamar Jackson, who by the way, can throw the ball pretty well and is also
famous
for failing in the playoffs. So if you're going to base your entire understanding of the quarterback position over this, you should be able to rip off that, because I can rip off plenty of quarterbacks who are actually excellent runners and average throwers who are not succeeding, and I can rip off plenty of quarterbacks who are excellent throwers and average runners who are succeeding. You should be able to give me example after example after example after example, and you can't. Because it's not true.
Because I don't need to give you. I don't need to give you example after example. Hold on.
Can I explain what I'm saying?
Can I explain without the list? The list really doesn't matter. I know it's like fun to make lists, but it doesn't matter when we're talking about what I want in a quarterback. And after watching Jalen or whoever you want to say, when I'm building a quarterback, it is critically important to me that that player can make plays when the play is off script. Almost over 50% of plays, or a large majority of plays in the NFL, are off script. Whether a receiver slips, he runs a wrong route, there's pressure. And if your quarterback can't create, then that is a major flaw. He can be able to throw the ball great, but if he can't avoid pressure, if he can't run to the outside and turn a third down into a first down, if he can't fake the handoff and a defensive edge crashes on him, that really impacts the offense. So you can talk about maybe there's not a lot of quarterbacks that this applies to. I didn't say that it had to. What I said was when I'm looking at quarterback prospects in this year's draft or any draft, it is more important to me or equally as important to have a quarterback that can make plays with his legs. And then yes, an average thrower. I agree. I'm giving some with the throwing, right? He doesn't have a special arm. Maybe he can't squeeze it into every window. But if you have a good offensive scheme and you have a quarterback that can throw the ball at an average level, having somebody that can run is a massive advantage. And I don't know how you don't see that.
Elliot, if I asked 10 draft people which they would rather have, how many of those 10 do you think would agree with you?
That's a good question. I would probably say the majority would not agree with me, but I don't know again why that matters. Like, Give me a counter argument.
I did give you a counter argument.
Hold on. No. You didn't give me a counter argument. You said name guys that it fits, and you said how many GMs would agree. Now tell me why you think being an elite thrower and a bad runner is a better.
I didn't say bad. You can't change it.
That was my mistake. And a great thrower and an average runner. Tell me why that is way better or better than being an elite runner and an average thrower.
Well, number one.
Don't say quarterback list. Number one.
Showing examples of what I'm talking about is more than enough. You get more chunks of yardage, which is incredibly important, throwing the ball rather than running the ball. There's not a doubt in that. You're going to get more yards per play.
You are correct about
throwing the ball rather than running the ball. Okay. So if your quarterback is not as good throwing the ball, it limits your ability to do the thing that is the most valuable in football, which is move the ball, right, at a higher yards per clip. Like, that's it. You can just look at the quarterbacks who've succeeded in the NFL and try to find me the ones that are average passers. I do think that
the position in the game is changing a little bit. I think you're seeing more college offenses being like ran in the NFL. So I would agree with you. If you go over the history of the league, yes, of course, throwing
even right now, who are the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL? Who are the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL? Right.
So I would say the top 10 quarterbacks right now in Mahomes.
Okay. Is he a better than average thrower?
Of course he is.
Okay. All right. There's one. Joe
Burrow.
But
he's also a very good runner.
But that's not what we're talking about. Joe Burrow.
I know. Joe Burrow, above average thrower.
Okay. Josh Allen.
Also an above average thrower.
Okay. Lamar Jackson.
I would say an above average thrower.
Brock Purdy.
I would say an above average thrower. I don't know what you're proving
Jared
Goff. Keep doing this. Jared Goff, above average thrower.
Well, what I'm proving is that all the best quarterbacks in the NFL are above average throwers. All of them.
Yes, and I said average thrower. So we can sit here. I'm not saying he can't throw the football. I'm not saying he can be a bad thrower.
But all those guys are above average.
Correct, but a lot of them can't run, and that's why I would prefer a running quarterback over Jared Goff, over Brock Purdy. You know, I forget the other ones you named, but the other top guys can run.
But the other
are
the Fantastic Four there in the top.
Right, and Joe Burrow. If you look in Cincinnati, the fact they've had a bad offensive line has severely impacted Joe Burrow because he's not as good as moving with the ball as he's.
It's impacted him.
Hurt more. He gets hit more. They weren't in the playoffs this year. And in the Super Bowl, he couldn't do it.
Yes, it was definitely because of Joe Burrow and not because of their defense.
Hold on. But also, I'll give you an example. Like, the current Super Bowl MVP that just won the Super Bowl fits my description. Now, he's an above-average thrower. But regardless, you keep saying besides Jalen. But that's because you don't want to... Exactly. No. You two don't want to give Jalen any credit, which is fine.
No.
But way that Jalen plays...
You've become some Jalen PR machine. And it's like, excruciating. No, it's excruciating
to judge college quarterbacks.
But you're not, or there would be.
I am.
You just said experts wouldn't agree with you. There's no evidence of it in the NFL.
Evidence is the current guy that just won the Super Bowl. That's the evidence.
Okay.
The guy that just won the Super Bowl.
Okay, so if the guy who had won the Super Bowl, so when Joe Flacco won the award, you should say that everything should be based on Joe Flacco.
No, but I think when the quarterback that wins the award in the Super Bowl plays a certain style, other teams should take into account they can win with that style. So when I highlight that
can win with is different than optimal.
Yes, and I would rather have a running quarterback that is an average thrower. Like, I don't know how else to explain this to you. You watch the game
you're wrong.
I don't.
It's objectively
wrong.
You're objectively wrong.
I would actually argue you're objectively wrong because the guy that currently holds a Super Bowl MVP is the one I'm describing.
No, so just because Jalen Hurts won the Super Bowl doesn't mean that you change that you change how you evaluate quarterbacks, Elliot. It's insulting to Jalen Hurts that you put so much importance on the fact that he runs it and doesn't talk at all about the other things that he does, which have to do with throwing the ball.
I think he's an above average thrower. But what you're talking about when I'm looking at these quarterbacks, what do I value? And for me, I want an athlete that can make plays with his legs because I've seen how valuable it is.
So
for
why
the
aren't people?
Just won the
so
Super
why
Bowl.
Aren't there people jumping all over Justin Fields?
Well, Justin Fields did get a ton of money in free agency and has gotten opportunity after opportunity to be a starting quarterback.
And failed, so, and no one's kept him, right?
Correct, but you just said why are teams not jumping all over Justin
They're
Fields?
Not.
He signed within the first few days of free agency. He got a ton of money, and he's getting another chance to being started quarterback.
Why is Jalen Milroe not number one then? Why is he not going number first?
Because, first of all, Jalen Milroe will probably go in the first round, which I think actually proves my point because he has not developed as a passer yet. But yeah, of course, Jalen Milroe is going to get drafted in the first two rounds. But why do you think that is?
In the first two rounds, what does that even mean,
yes.
Elliot? It's because quarterback is the most important position and people are desperate. Like, it doesn't make it the optimal thing. It's just like, wrong. You can't say on the podcast.
I think you're diminishing the running more than I'm diminishing the throwing.
No.
I'm admitting you have to be an average to above average thrower. I am admitting that. Of course you have to be able to throw the ball.
You can be an excellent thrower and a statue and win a Super Bowl. You can't be an excellent runner and not be able to.
I think that's way... I think that's way harder. I think it's way harder to do. If you have a statue as a quarterback, you have to have an elite offensive line. You have to have elite
just
playmakers
like Jalen,
all
just
around
just like
him.
Jalen.
Yes, correct. Yeah,
like,
Jalen
none of what
things.
You've talked correct. About with Jalen has proven itself to be true. Like, Jalen has an elite offensive line. He has elite weapons, and that's how he's won. Yeah, like this
yes,
thing where you say
also,
he can make
he
up
also,
for not having an elite offensive line, he's never done that. You said he can make up for not
true.
Having elite
that's...
weapons. He's never done that either. It's just not
so
true.
That's not true. That's not, no, what you're saying is not true. So we can go back and forth on saying what we think is not true. But Jalen absolutely makes plays with his legs when the offensive line breaks down or there's no one open. And in 2020, have skill players all around him. And the offensive line was still very good, but probably not as good as it is now. He helped carry that team to the playoffs because of his legs. If he was a statue back then in 2021, they would not be a playoff team. Okay. If he was a statue this past season, I think they'd still be good. But so again, I mean, I'm sorry that you're wrong. I don't know what to say.
No,
like the
I'm
fact
not
that
wrong. If the league results don't show that, if experts don't say it, if GMs don't say it, you're going to have to take the loss on this one. I'm sorry. There's no evidence
what
of what
my
you
opinion
said.
Is not. Well, first of all, my opinion's based off my opinion. Like, I understand your point,
and
that
your opinion
could
be
agree.
Wrong.
That's fine.
Your opinion
it can
could
be. You're right. I'm wrong all the time. But
it could be 80 degrees outside, and you can say you believe it's cold, and your opinion would be wrong.
Are we taking jolly lines?
Well, no, but that's different because that's a factual thing. Like, what I'm saying is, so when I'm scouting a quarterback, it's important to me he can move. That is a key
asset. That is different. That is different than what you said on the podcast. It's different than what you
said. I said average.
It's different.
Important
that he can move is different than saying you would rather have a quarterback who's an average thrower.
I would rather have a quarterback that's an elite runner and an average thrower than a quarterback that is an elite thrower and an average runner.
Right.
That's
and
my
that is
preference.
Wrong. Yeah. And that is actually wrong. So you can listen to the Go Birds podcast. You can hear all these wrong. Well, you can think all you want, but it's still wrong. You can hear it all on the Go Birds podcast.
You can think you're right, but you're not.
But it proved itself out that I'm right. So
you haven't proved. Okay.
Yeah.
We haven't proved anything, but that's
all right. Okay. There he is. Elliot Shore Parks. Wrong again. Wrong again.
Love you,
Cameron, for this one. It was good to see your face during this.
Wrong
you know,
again. Wrong again. Cut him off. Turn him off.
Hey, man.
It's important that he can
Listen,
move.
I'm still
different.
Recovering from Friday.
Yeah,
so
right. I took today.
Yeah. Ellie, you want to come on?
Yeah.
That's all it turns into.
I forgot about it until I was taking my walk around the station.
I think you texted me about it over the weekend.
I did. Yeah. It made me furious. I was furious. Someone like this, walking my dog. I was like, what is this guy talking about? All right. 215-592-9494. What would you rather have? An awesome runner, an average thrower, or an awesome thrower, and an average
he's
runner?
He's the family member that comes over and riles up everybody.
Thanksgiving,
man.
Yeah. He's the guy that comes and starts talking about politics on Thanksgiving. All right. 215-592-9494. We'll review my YouTube big board of 2024 next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.